Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and today I'm going to defend a CNN talking head against an accusation made by Rush Limbaugh and many other conservatives. That will be interesting because it will expose a pattern. And it's a pattern that we can see among conservative Christians, right-wingers, Republicans. When we make accusations against others that are not true, that are exaggerated, that are intentionally misrepresented, then the left, the individuals whose souls we hope to win to Jesus Christ, they find all the more reason to reject everything we say because it's obvious that we're liars. It's obvious. So I want to talk about that. In this instance, just the past few days with the California wildfire and the flames were marching up the mountain toward the Reagan Library. So we'll talk about that, and also, while this gets me in difficult territory, I want to talk about the governor of Virginia, the Democrat, Ralph Northam. He's the blackface guy. And first he apologized, then he denied it was him. Remember that? And then he made the statement about an infant who's delivered. He's supposedly talking about New York State legitimizing even late-term abortion, and then he made a statement about after infants are born, and we'll analyze that, and I think we will gain some significant insight. Before we do that, I want to talk about the New York subway arrest and the massive anti-cop marches there and the vandalism of police cars. This anti-cop social justice crowd, they take losers and thugs as their heroes, right? And this is just another instance of that. Somebody says to the police, a 911 call, this guy just got on the subway, he's carrying a gun, and so no gun is found, but the police arrest him, and he's got three outstanding warrants, and he's just another thug. Ferguson's Michael Brown, who committed suicide, and they blame a cop, right? They take criminals, thugs, and they make them their heroes because that makes sense, because that's who they are. When Bill Clinton was made a hero of the left as a lying fornicator, they didn't make him a hero in spite of him being a lying fornicator. They made him a hero because he was a lying fornicator. And now Dylan Farrow, who is the journalist who won the Pulitzer Prize, who broke open, basically started the whole Me Too movement, practically, with his reporting against Harvey Weinstein, and then, of course, all the Jeffrey Epstein, and his own stepfather, that's been percolating, right? Woody Allen, the sex pervert that he is. And so now Dylan Farrow is saying we need to reevaluate Bill Clinton for the credible accusation of rape by Juanita Broderick. Isn't that something? So all these years, 20 years after, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we led Clinton raped Juanita protest in 144 cities. I remember that. We were up to 100 cities. And where Bill and Hillary Clinton would go, we would send a protest. I went to many of them, New York City, all around the country and beyond. He went to Martha's Vineyard. We had a protest there with our large banners, rapist, Bill Clinton's face, and our flyers, Clinton raped Juanita. We were up to 100 cities. He went to Auckland, New Zealand. A team of 10 of us went for a week. The whole country found out on their national news TV show, their national radio station, and their national newspaper that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. And we hit 100 cities. Then we were at 143 cities, and the Clinton Library was finally opening up. If you've ever seen a picture of it, it's supposed to be a visionary architecture. It's supposed to be a bridge to the future. It's by the St. Louis River, and what it looks like is a trailer down by the river. That's what it looks like. And we said at the time, I spent a few hours on Arkansas's largest radio station. It's their Rush Limbaugh affiliate. And just before Rush would come on, that week we were there during the Clinton Library opening, the number one Arkansas local talk show host would have me on for an hour in studio to make the case and present the evidence that Clinton raped Juanita. And I remember pointing out also, you know, some observations about the Clinton Library opening, like their large dictionary on display, the display dictionary, was permanently open to the definition for the word is. Remember that, Bill Clinton? Well, it depends on what the definition of the word is. Remember that? And then also the library, it's supposed to be a bridge to the future, like over the river. And it just looks like a trailer down at the river. And we think they engineered it in a way that if Hillary won also became president, they could just turn it into a double wide. And so then we'd get two libraries for the price of one. So with Dylan Farrow now, 20 years after all that, with him saying that the case against Bill Clinton needs to be reevaluated, I'm so thankful. I've been thankful for the Me Too movement. I know conservative Christians, they have had a knee-jerk reaction against it because they want to protect two of their politicians, Donald Trump and Judge Roy Moore. Whereas hundreds of powerful left-wing Democrats, socialists, hundreds have been taken out. Hundreds. And undoubtedly, millions of women have been treated somewhat better, especially in the workforce, as a result of the Me Too movement, where there is this awareness now that you cannot mistreat women sexually as a matter of course. That's one of the best changes that have happened in America on the moral front in decades. So I'm very thankful for the Me Too movement, and I'm sure hoping that this happens and that Ronan Farrow is able to, by the sheer force of his gravitas, get the Clinton case reopened. When people Google, did Bill Clinton rape Juanita Broderick, we're not at the very top, but we're up there. Our reports at kgov.com and a website we started years ago called shadowgov.com. Sort of fun, right? Shadowgov.com. Long before the deep state and the shadow government was a big deal, decades ago, we had kgov.com and for fun, shadowgov.com, where we laid out various criminal cases, including the case against Bill Clinton for raping Juanita Broderick. So making someone a hero because he's a loser, because he's a thug, because he's a lying fornicator. So lying fornicators want to be affirmed. They want to be affirmed. And so it was easy for them to make Bill Clinton their hero. And the Black Lives Matter movement, where their natural tendency, they almost can't avoid it, where they take losers and thugs and they turn them into their heroes. And why? You look at the movement and you could tell why. Why would this movement's hero be a lying fornicator? Oh, because they're lying fornicators. Why would this movement's heroes be losers and thugs. Oh, because they're losers and thugs. So there's a self-loathing hatred for the failure of their families as individuals, their subculture, and they got to lash out and blame somebody. So it's a racist movement, they blame whites, and it's an anti-authority movement, so they blame cops, when really they should blame themselves for their failure and the destruction they bring upon even their own children. And speaking of which, this weekend, my nephew, one of our kids, did a podcast, Why People Hate Children. And in the sermon yesterday at Denver Bible Church, I mentioned in passing something we all know, that in major cities, children are the endangered species, and they're being replaced by millions of dogs. So that young couples, they don't take their kids to the park, they take their dog to the park. And they don't have a bring your child to work day, they have your bring your dog to work day. And so the headline at the very top of Drudge, the Drudge Report today, was more dogs in San Francisco than children. So his banner head today was a Fox News poll, political. The country is obsessed with politics, very unhealthy. The 24-hour cable news cycle is one of the causes of this, sort of like Typhoid Mary. You used to have Typhoid Mary. Now you have CNN and Fox News. So they're carriers. They're the causes, one of the causes for the obsession with politics as a new style soap opera addiction. And so the more we're obsessed with politics, the less we focus on what God is doing in us and through us. And we think that by voting Republican, we are doing God's work, we think. So, and also we transfer our loyalty from him to a candidate or a party. We become apologists, political apologists, to defend the latest whatever, immoral statement, action, whatever. And we lose track. We have a hard time discerning even what is right and wrong, because our knee-jerk reaction is to defend everything that our guy, our party, our candidate does. Very dangerous. Democracy, super, super dangerous. So I want to get to the defense of the CNN talking head about what he said about the California wildfire and the Reagan Library. But first, a couple news updates. Targeted antibodies, the revolution in cancer treatment that we've been talking about on this show for a few years now, and my prediction that cancer as a cause of death in America will drop from number 2 to number 5 by the year 2025. So that prediction, there are results coming in that show that that prediction, it's on track. We'll see if it happens. But breast cancer now. Breast cancer, they've been having amazing success with, like, melanoma, for example. Melanoma used to be, certain diagnoses of melanoma was a death sentence. In fact, if you were an oncologist specializing in melanoma, they would make fun of you and say that you are a hospice doctor, because all you do is treat people and teach them how to die. Well, today, the melanoma clinics are packed because people are surviving. People who are responsive to the targeted antibody treatment are responding. They're surviving 5 years. Some of the early patients are now 10 years out and still disease-free, no sign of the disease, the cancer. So that's real exciting. Regarding breast cancer, they have had some dramatic success with various kinds of breast cancer, including severe breast cancer. But this is a new development, because they're becoming experts on the body's immune system response to cancer. Identifying the antibodies in your blood when a woman has breast cancer, a man could have breast cancer too. It's, I think, 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 10,000 cases will be a man. But that'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? But now that they know what to look for in our blood for the antigens and the antibodies that are produced when you have breast cancer, they're now able to detect breast cancer with a blood test 5 years before clinical detection and symptoms appearing. 5 years before. That's astounding. So that's yet another significant step toward our BEL, Real Science Radio, prediction being confirmed. Hopefully, go to kgov.com/TA for targeted antibodies, and you could read all the astounding progress. And then trucking automation, we made a prediction that by the end of 2020, there would be significant disruption in the trucking industry because of automation. So that prediction only has another year to go. We'll see how that turns out. But I jumped in my friend's car. He's going to give me a ride. And we're driving. We're not on the highway. We're just going through town. And I look over and he's not driving. And his car is driving. Sort of cool, right? I mean, he's not driving. And I look on the monitor where normally you'd have a dash, and it shows all the cars in both lanes. We were in, you know, a secondary street, two lanes going south, two lanes coming north, and it spots all these cars going past, and it's the car's driving. So trucking, there's been a lot of progress. We haven't been reporting on it much, but we have quite the summary of what's been going on online, kgov.com/trucking. Okay, so Rush Limbaugh criticizes somebody at CNN. That's easy, right? That's just a knee-jerk reaction. Somebody at CNN says anything and they get criticized. And if that's who you are, if that's what you've become, then really you're becoming just noise. Just noise. The Samaritans did not know God, and Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan to tell us what love would be, so we can identify love. Isn't that something? So at CNN, Keith Boykin, one of their commentators, sent out a tweet with the fire, the Easy Fire. That's because it was off of Easy Street. Remember Little Orphan Annie, Easy Street? So the fire is, as fires do, creeping, running, charging up the mountain toward the Reagan Library for Ronald Reagan. And this Keith Boykin, he sends out a tweet, a news report of the fire, and he writes, "For those who think God punishes sinners with natural disasters." So that's what he tweeted. So who is he criticizing there? Well, think about it, right? Who's he criticizing? For those who think God punishes sinners with natural disasters. So Rush, who, hey, Rush is entertaining to listen to, and he's pretty good at identifying problems. He's very bad at identifying solutions because he doesn't come from a biblical Christian worldview. He comes from a founding father's U.S. Constitution worldview. So he's not very good at solutions. And he's used to his audience who will agree with him if he's condemning his enemies, whether it's true or not, even if it's blatantly not true. So here's what Rush reads the tweet, and he says, "So Ronald Reagan's a sinner, obviously. Why? He's a conservative. He sinned by opposing the left." Right now, is that what the guy at CNN was saying? Was the guy at CNN saying Ronald Reagan is a sinner? And Ronald Reagan, his reputation deserves his library being burned down because he's a sinner. Is that what the guy was saying? That's what Rush was saying. That's how Rush was presenting, and that's how all the conservatives who bought in to that misrepresentation, that's what they were saying. But in fact, I don't know anything about Keith Boykin other than he's on CNN. That's all I know about him. So I could draw about 100 generalizations, and most likely 97 would be right about Keith Boykin. So one of those is that he doesn't believe in sin. That's one of those. He doesn't believe there's such a thing as sin. So is this CNN commentator, is he saying Ronald Reagan is a sinner, and now watch, his library is being burned up? No, that's the kind of stupid thing that conservative Christians say. That's who he was criticizing, and rightly so. He was making a good argument. Moron conservative Christians. Now, not all conservative Christians, obviously. I'm a conservative Christian. People who've supported this show for decades, we're conservative Christians. But we have in our camp, just like if you read the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, you have people in your camp who are morons. And our morons, when there's a Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, they say that it's God targeting the homosexuals because of their Southern Decadence festival they have there every year. And he was targeting the French Quarter because they're perverts. That's what they said. So that sort of fits in, doesn't it, to Keith Boykin's tweet? For those who think God punishes sinners with natural disasters. So many conservative Christians at the time were saying that. So many. And I remember we would point out, well, if that were the case, if that were really the case, then the divine aim wasn't great because the French Quarter was spared while the city was destroyed. And the divine timing wasn't perfect because it missed the Southern Decadence Festival by a couple days. And so instead of a bunch of homosexuals drowning, it was old people and sickly people and poor people. So the stupidity of it all, the earthquake in California, the Northridge earthquake, and the conservative Christians who said, Northridge was the center of the pornography industry. Now, nobody knew that until the earthquake happened. And then, oh, look, Northridge is where a lot of the pornography businesses are located. So God targeted them, except the rebuilding happened so quickly and the porn industry is stronger than ever. So the stupidity of the superstition of the conservative Christians of that bent who are inclined to be superstitious and thereby harm their own credibility, their own integrity. And when they share the gospel with people they care about, those people have already heard so many stupid things come out of this person's mouth that they're just not going to listen to anything they say. And so when the left, they're not only our opponents, they're also the mission field. They're also the ones from whom we hope to bring the harvest to the Lord of souls that were saved. And when we just pile on and join in every lie, for what reason? Because it's fun and we're lazy. We discredit the gospel and we bring shame to our own testimony. That's what we do. And this is common. Now, one of the most perplexing cases of this came out of Virginia a year ago when their Democrat governor, Ralph Northam, remember the photos of the high school yearbooks were published, college, whatever it was, and here he is in blackface, and he apologizes, and it's the cancel culture, right? So that's it. That means your career's over. And then he says, oh, wait, that wasn't me. That's a good one, isn't it? First you apologize, then you deny. Normally it's the other way around. First you deny, then you apologize. Well, he apologized, then he denied it. So then in the midst of that scandal, and his lieutenant governor had his own Me Too movement scandal. So Virginia, the Democrats, they're in a mess. But he's not stepping down. It looks like he might weather the storm with the blackface. And then he's doing a radio interview, and he gets asked by some pro-abort child-killing host about New York State and the legislature there legitimizing late-term child killing, late-term abortion, right? Legitimize means to declare legally valid. When Will Perkins of Colorado Springs, who's just gone to be with the Lord, he was an early conservative Christian activist. He was the money and a lot of the effort behind Amendment 2, which gave Christians the right to refuse to comply with demands from homosexuals. For example, Amendment 2 would have protected Jack Phillips, the baker, when homosexuals came in and said, bake us a homosexual wedding cake. And Amendment 2 said you don't have to do that, specifically regarding demands from homosexuals. If homosexuals, you're renting out a room, you're renting out the apartment upstairs, and two homosexuals come and say, we want to rent, Amendment 2 specifically said you don't have to rent to them, specifically. So today, Focus on the Family today would never support that amendment that they supported aggressively 20 years ago. They would never support it. How do we know that? Because their vice president of public policy told us that in a face-to-face meeting. Well, we'd never do that again. Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't you give Christians? Well, we'd support a homosexual to be on this U.S. Supreme Court. So they've lost their way. But back then, Will Perkins was in the studio, and I asked him, Will, would you join us in advocating for homosexuality to be recriminalized? And he said, oh, no, I can't do that. Well, what do you mean you can't do that? Oh, no, we just want to make sure that they can't force Christians to give in to their agenda. Yeah, but Will, you're legitimizing homosexuality. You're legitimizing it. You're declaring it to be legally valid. That's what you're doing. When you say, as Focus on the Family, their campaign slogan was equal rights for homosexuals. That was their campaign slogan. Equal rights for homosexuals, not special rights. And we recognized at the time that they had conceded the war and that Christianity was gradually being criminalized. And that in the public square, homosexuality and biblical Christianity are mutually exclusive. You cannot have two in a corporation. You cannot have both in the public square, one or the other. You have to bow the knee to homosexuality or you're not allowed to speak. And that's where we are at, and that's partly thanks to Focus on the Family. Will Perkins, hey, he loved the Lord. He's a Christian. And the Bible says that Jesus will wipe away our tears, and wow, there were a lot of tears for the Lord to wipe away when Will Perkins got there because of his working with James Dobson to get the church to legitimize homosexuality. Well, New York State legitimized late-term abortion. So the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, a surgeon who had delivered babies, if I recall, was asked about it. In his answer, he talked about babies who were born in crisis and would have to be resuscitated. Let's finish this tomorrow. God bless you guys.